Apollo arrived there later, and he killed the dragon, and it's said that from the decaying body of the dragon, the fumes were coming, and the Pythia was inhaling these fumes and falling into trance to do divination. Very interesting is the Roman name of Henbane. The Roman name is Apollinaris. That means the plant of Apollon, which is very clearly that using this plant you could do divination through the god Apollon himself. And so that plant was also used by the physicians to make some narcotic preparations for surgery and stuff like that. And the Celtic people of Gaul, they used the plant to kill old people. When they had elders in their tribes, too weak or too sick to travel with the tribe, they decided it's better to die. And so they used some henbane drinks, potions, drank it and died in Gaul. Well, and the Germans, they had a very deep respect for this plant. In Germany, it's almost impossible to find it wild. So the Germans imported the seeds from southern Europe and planted it in several places. And even today, some cities villages have names saying that there were Bilsenkraut plantations in that area before, like Bilsensee, then there is this one very amazing story about henbane. Maybe you have heard of Pilsen. It's a place in Bohemia, in Czechia. And at that place, in the 19th century, some beer brewers invented a new brewing technique with a special yeast, and they brewed a very yellow, light beer, very bitter. They used a lot of hops for it. And this beer nowadays is famous as Pilsner beer. And it's very strange that this beer is called Pilsner beer, because in Germany we had a real Pilsner beer. And this was brewed with henbane instead of hops. And so the city of Pilsen got its name from the henbane plantations of the Germans in that area. And in the old times, this henbane was used to produce the real Pilsner beer, the henbane beer. So what in these days is called Pilsner beer is the wrong Pilsner beer. And maybe you have heard of this law, the German, das deutsche Reinheitsgebot, the German purifying law, or whatever it's called in English. It was passed out in the 16th century, and saying that beer can be brewed only with water, malt, hops and yeast, nothing else. Especially, it should not be brewed with henbane. So this purity law was a drug law. It made henbane illegal. And that's very interesting because most Germans are really proud of this purity law and they think this guarantees good beer. But to me, that was the end of the history of beer, because since that time, everybody thinks beer has to be brewed with hops. And hops is a sedative. It's not fun at all. But henbane and other plants in beer are fun. And, I think, or my interpretation of this historical turnover is that the church lost power and influence, and people were getting crazy on henbane beer, getting horny, having visions, going back to pagan rituals and all this stuff. And so the church thought, no, we have to outlaw that because we want to have true Catholic people who come to support the church and all this stuff. So the use of hops in beer is an invention by Catholic monks, and we still suffer from that, I suppose. Yeah, I was just starting that story because since I'm so much interested in the old stuff, I have to find ways to bring them back to life. And so a couple of years ago, I started to do some experimentation in brewing henbane beer, and I did. And it's actually very easy. It's so easy, you can't believe it. You can do it in your house without any special vessels or whatever. It's very easy. I give you the exact amounts for a recipe because it's very helpful to know how much henbane you use, because henbane can be quite toxic and kill you. So, every substance can kill you at a certain amount. But henbane is so-so. Henbane is a nightshade plant and it's closely related to Datura. So it's strong and trickster-like too. Well, anyhow, I have this recipe I follow and I'm still alive and I'm still happy and I'm not insane, I suppose. I survived it many times and so did my crowd of guinea pigs too. I take 20 liters of water. Use about 1 liter of malt. It's very easy to buy malt. You don't want to prepare it by yourself. It's liquid malt. It's very thick liquid, like syrup. That's the best to use because to prepare malt is a pain in the ass. You don't want to do that. And so I take 1 liter of malt and I take about half a liter of honey. And I take 40 grams of dried henbane leaves. 40 grams. 40. I take that amount That's enough to kill one person. So you don't drink 20 liters without puking, so you don't die with that. But I take the 40 grams and cook it with water for 5 to 10 minutes. And then I just put everything together. A good way is first you dissolve the malt in a little bit of water in some liters, put in the honey, dissolve it, and then you add the henbane. No, I put the plant material into the brew. And then you just fill up the water, and then you take yeast. You can buy this yeast, and there is home brewing kits everywhere available. It's just that yeast. You put in the yeast, and you wait for 5 days, and the beer is ready. Well, if you buy the yeast, you it will say how much you have to use for a certain amount of water. I found it useful to add a little more yeast than normally used for making beer, because the tropane alkaloids in the henbane are really strong, and the yeast really get the buzz out of that. It stays for one day without any work. So the yeast has to build up some tolerance for the tropane alkaloids. And yeah. No, I use a plastic jar. This thing I see in Sesame Street with Oscar. And whatever, you can use what you want. And don't close it up, because it can explode then. And it takes about 1.5 days, and it starts to ferment. And the main process of fermentation is finished after 4 to 5 days. You can easily observe it when the big foam goes away and only the little bit going on. You can drink it at that stage already. And what we do, we prepare it for like Easter, and then on what is this in English? The Holy Friday? Good Friday. Yeah, for Good Friday, I make the brew so we can drink it on Good Friday and having a kind of pagan orgy, because that's the original meaning of Easter.
Drink it chilled or room temperature?
Well, I drink it then room temperature, but what I don't drink then at that time, I fill into bottles, and then I add a little, a few drops of honey or a little bit of sugar, it doesn't matter, in the bottle, and seal it, so and then it will ferment for a second time, a very little bit, and then you can drink it after 1 week. You can store it away. I stored it away for over a year, and it did not turn into vinegar or anything, and it's very stable beer. When you drink it from the bottle, you chill it and you drink it from the bottle, it's really delicious. It's totally different from what you know to be beer.
When you store it long term, do you store it refrigerated or
in? Well, just like you would store normal beer, not place it in the sun, maybe in a cellar or in the basement. And what is very interesting too, the color of the beer is red. And if you read stories about witches' sabbaths and of witches' beer, They always say the witches gather together to drink this red beer. In all the sources, it's always said the witch's beer is red, naturally, because they used henbane, I suppose.
Is the henbane related to the Torah? Is it a belladonna plant, or can belladonna be substituted for that?
Well, I wouldn't use belladonna. Belladonna, it contains so much atropine, and atropine is no fun. The henbane just contains scopolamine and hyoscyamine, but mainly scopolamine, especially if it's dry, the hyoscyamine turns into scopolamine. Scopolamine works on some people very well and on some very bad, so you have to find out if you're a scopolamine person or not. Pharmaceutical Institute who is willing to do chemical analysis of my beers and to really understand what is going on. There might be some major chemical changes through the process of fermentation. We don't know yet. So this is just a preliminary report on some self-experimentation. Well, I have to tell you some of the effects, too. when we drink it, we usually gather with some friends, 6-8 people, and then we have these big horns, you know, real drinking horns. And it's the best thing to drink from, because the drinking horn, like, I have one like this size, very, very nice. You touch it and it feels like an erotic body or something. Very good. So you drink from this and then you pass it around. And this was actually what our ancestors did for their rituals. They had these horns, drinking it, giving saying something, a greeting of a god, or a greeting to the ancestors, or wishing well to the family, or whatever, and then pass it around. So everybody had this Trinkspruch, what they say, the drinking, what do you say, Trinkspruch, toast maybe? Well, give a toast and pass it around. So, and they drank so much, and this is said in the sources, until the gods were among them. So what does it mean? It's an entheogenic experience. And well, we did the same thing, and it turned out that well, the gods weren't there, but we were elevating to them. So the effect is like it starts to loose up your body, and you feel like really smooth and really relaxed, and then you have nice body sensations and nice sensations on your skin. You think, well, this could be nice for some erotic adventures, and then you close your eyes and suddenly you stay in a red mist, and you feel your body elevated, and it's really beautiful, interesting feeling. And what is very amazing, you don't get alcoholic effects from it. You drink and drink and drink, and this beer has about 4 to 5% of alcohol. So like weak German beer or strong American beer. American beer has about 3%, and for us Germans, it's like water. But so it's about 4 to 5%, and I don't feel anything from the alcohol. And I drink about 2.5 to 3 liters of henbane beer to get the full effect. You can drink more, of course, but then you may start to hallucinate badly, and The hallucinations caused by nightshade plants are very unpleasant most of the time, because this is what I call true hallucinations. You see something which is just not there, and you're not aware about you hallucinating it. So you start to hallucinate scenes from real life. I observed a doctor under the influence of scopolamine, and he was just sitting there for 4 hours writing recipes. And I observed the teacher, and he was sitting at his table for hours and doing some corrections on tests and so. But there was nothing. I mean, he was just total hallucination. And that's a typical sign of overdosage. You don't want to do that. And I found the beer the easiest way to control the amount of propane alkaloids you want to ingest. So I don't know if you can get a hold of seeds of henbane in the United States, but there might be some seed companies selling that. I don't know. Is there any? And the it's very easy to grow. It's a beautiful plant, and it's very unique how it looks like with these long buds and flowers. And it's, if you see the plant, you know it's magical. Really amazing. Well, henbane is introduced to the Americas. It's a native southern European plant. Yeah, maybe you can find it and plant it and use it. Well, I boil it for a couple of minutes. Well, the propane alkaloids will stay. They are very stable, strong molecules. No, when I figured out how to do the henbane beer, I started to brew mandrake beer. And that's very interesting too. You can use the same recipe, and instead of 40 grams of dried leaves of henbane, you use about 40 grams of the dried root of mandrake. The same way. And that's pretty strong and interesting. I found the effect different from henbane. And the chemistry of mandrake is quite different from the other nightshade plants. And there has been very little experimentation done with mandrake. There's 20 books on mandrake, maybe, but none of the authors ever ingested a piece of it. So it's all theoretical stuff. And I just recently did some research, literature search, for personal experiences with mandrake. It doesn't exist. It's really amazing. Everybody is saying about mandrake, the magical plant, the most famous magical plant of history, and it's visionary, entheogenic, psychoactive, or whatever, aphrodisiac, of course. But there is no personal proof for all this in the whole body of literature. I just can't believe it. And that's not only true for mandrake, it's for most so-called psychoactive plants the case. Most is just theoretical writings about them. there's very little experimentation and very little knowledge of how much you have to take for what effect and so forth. So these plants are a good area of research. If you ever want to do some research, go to mandrake, henbane, datura. Datura is better known, but mandrake is not known at all. It certainly is psychoactive, I found on myself. But from all the nightshade plants, I think it's the most aphrodisiac one. It really gives very nice sensations to your body and to your mind, and very pleasurable.
When you put this henbane in your liquid and you load it for about 1.5 days, you keep the leaves in the liquid?
Yes, yes.
You
boil
it all?
Yeah, all time long. Only when I put it into bottles, and then I take the leaves out. The effects last for the night, and you will have some effects the next morning too, because you get dilated pupils, and if you want to read, you think, what's that? But that goes away in the following day. You don't want to drive with henbane at all. Don't do that. Never. I think it's more serious than on driving on acid. I think driving on henbane can be very bad. McKenna? No. Well, I'm sure McKenna means mushroom on some level. No. McKenna. Well, I'm sure the English pronunciation of Greek is different, but the Greek pronunciation is McKenna. McKenna is Mycenae, or how you say that in Mycenae? Mycenae, well. No Greek will understand you. But that's the Mycenae means the city of mushrooms. Well, I think I have to stop now, and thank you again, and happy experimentation.